Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. I am very, very grateful you chose to be with me on this ninth day of March 2019. And we're going to look at excuses and misunderstandings and frustrations and all those wonderful things that oftentimes a spiritual practice invokes in people. And so we'll just take a quick look at this. I want to remind you that these radio programs are made for you. They're an offering from myself, my sponsors who make all this possible with their donations, their tax-deductible gifts, and we invite you to join us and to help us help those who are maybe like yourself who seek to awaken spiritually and see the futility of this lifetime without an authentic spiritual practice. And it really is... It really is frustrating, I'm sure, for so many people. And we're going to find out what that all means here in a moment, because I have some really interesting questions for you about frustration and all of that with the practice. It's interesting. If you have gained something from these radio programs, my TV programs that you see on the website, even at aspire.org, and we're showing this series, What is the Point of It All right now? I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our effort to help those who are in this world seeking something other than the conventional mind and thinking, and allow yourself to maybe change the way you operate from within. This is really, really important. So I hope that you will go take a look on the website at aspire.org. Why support Aspire? It's down there on the bottom. For your sponsorship, you get many wonderful gifts, the message of the month each and every month, podcast, video cast, commentaries, all yours. All of my TV discourses, 122 of them are there for you, including the series on Life Worth Living, Passing Through the Fire is one of the most important ones I ever did. The Eightfold Path, the Gnostic Gospels, the Beatitudes. They're all there for you to serve you, to help you, and hopefully to help you change your life. Go take a look. Everybody has excuses. Everybody has a reason why. Everybody puts their... their practice, whatever it may be, in a certain category, in a certain place in their life, usually of non-importance, doesn't really matter that much. Everything has to serve the pedestrian mentality, the physical body, the emotionality. We live like we don't have a heart and like we don't have a soul. And for the most part, we don't have a soul because we don't live consciously, and we live in the auspice of our ego, our vanity, our pride, our human body, and whatever it dictates. And so we miss a lot of the meaning of our life. We miss so much of it. So an authentic spiritual practice is not here as a formula to make your life better. It's there to give your life meaning. It's to give your life that which it deserves, which is the meaning of what it is to live consciously and to live compassionately and to achieve the soul, which is one of the most important things you will ever do in any of your incarnations. In fact, it is the reason for your incarnation here on earth. So many people don't get it, they don't understand it, and they don't care to. I mean, I understand. My own students, one of them came to me and said, I don't really care about my soul, I don't understand it, and I don't see the significance of it. We assume we know. We really assume we know what a soul is. You've been deluged with all sorts of opinions and beliefs, and you don't see any relevance to anything that doesn't affect whatever it is that is your desire or needs. Just the way it is. It's the way people are. But there is far more to this life than fulfilling my Greg Penn desires and needs. And so here we go. First question comes from James in Newport. I don't know if that's Rhode Island or California, just said Newport. My mind can find every reason to not meditate. Though I try and try, and then he puts in parentheses, I like this, not that hard. I don't understand why. Isn't meditation natural, James? No, James. Meditation is not natural, not to the human body, not to the human thought, not to anything that is regarded as human. Heck no. It has nothing to do with anything that is, shall we say, human. And that's why you can't find enough space inside yourself to do it, or motivation, because we are used to the human defining our entire life, telling us what we can do, what we can't do, what is important, what's not important. We let the human body, human emotionality, and the pedestrian mentality that comes out of all of that tell us what is important, what's not. And if you look at people, if you really look at them, and you see where they're at and what they're doing and what the meaning of their life is according to how they think of that meaning, you'll understand very deeply what's going on within you. It's called indifference. I had a friend in college, Todd Cleary. I'll never forget him as long as I live. He was funny. He was bright. And he used to say to me, Greg, if you can't eat it, drink it, smoke it, drive it, spend it, buy it, or have sexual intercourse with it, you know the one word for that, it's just not worth doing. And of course, you know, when you're 19 years old, I laughed at that. I thought that was funny. But I never believed it. I thought he was joking. I really didn't understand that the guy was joking. No, he wasn't. He wasn't joking. And come to find out, as I go through the years of my life, teaching and working and doing everything I had to do to get through college and seminary and everything, it's the way people think. I'm an old relic of the 60s. I thought that we would all do some wonderful things with our lives. But James, people don't, because they don't build the essence of what would bring about a meaningful life. They don't care to have a meaningful life. They just want to have whatever it is that defines their life as a quote-unquote good life. And usually that comes down to having family and friends and money and trips and places and food and extravagant whatevers, and that's the way we think of as a good life. We're not a very intelligent species at all, not at all. The only thing that makes us intelligent is to go and live for that which we can take with us through death, and that is what we achieve spiritually. And because we are soulless, because we have no concept of what it is to worship anything other than our ego, our vanity, our pride, we continue on the way we continue on, living our life in the mediocrity of our hate and fear, thinking that we are striving for the right things by getting all the accoutrement of what we want. The reason you can't meditate, as you say, my mind can find every reason to not meditate. The reason it does that is that your DNA, which is saying survive, 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 is influencing your genetics, your lineage, your physical prowess, and it's telling you, well, if you're going to survive, you should do this, this, and this, and this meditation stuff just doesn't matter. It isn't going to change anything. It isn't going to make your life easier. In fact, it's going to make your life harder, because people abhor self-examination. They do. They don't want to self-examine. They want to assume, oh, I have a few little corrections here and there to make, but I don't have any big things to have to worry about. And we do. I do, we do, we all do. We all have to change. And we don't want to do that unless we're changing to get something we want. And whatever it is, I can guarantee you, whatever it is that Greg Penn wants or you want in this form of objects and people and things, it isn't going to change our life. The only thing that really changes our life is finding that which is life that lives within us. And we're not much interested in that because we assume we already have that and we don't need to understand it. We just need to go with it, or it can't be understood. You see, James, a new mind is born in meditation. And when this new mind is revealed to you and born within you, it changes the way you look at people, objects, and things. It changes how you approach your life. There is a great mercy, compassion, forgiveness, and love in you, and it changes everything. We are linked to everything that was ever in our life, in the past, in the future, in everything. We are linked together, no matter what. I can't sit here and say to you, you are not linked now to my life in some way, because your question has come into my realm. And now I'm answering it, and now you're in my life, believe it or not, and I'm in yours. And if you understand the networking that is done with all of that, then you understand how important meditation is. It is to bring clarity, insight into why this person, me or you, in my life now. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. Your mind is never going to want to change. It just isn't going to want to change. That's why we don't understand the significance of relationships that we have with people. Even the one you're having with me now and I'm having with you, it is significant. But does Greg, does James know it? No. Are they capable of knowing it? No. Only my heart can reveal it to me. So if you're waiting for your mind to catch up to your heart, forget it. Your authentic heart, not your human heart, not your emotional heart. Again, I have to preface that. If you're waiting for that to happen, just forget it. It isn't going to happen. But when you can put aside the selfishness, the pride, the vanity, the ego, for the sake of a love that is greater than what you can think and believe in, greater than what you have ever conceptually come up with, then something of the other shore can reach you, something beautiful. James, thank you for your beautiful question. It really was beautiful, and I appreciate it. And if you ever need any help with meditation, I'm here. Please forgive me. The next one, Russell. He does not tell me where he lives. Men don't usually tell me. Well, a lot of people don't. I don't understand you, Greg. This really, really bothers me. It's not your fault, but I have to tell you, you insult the hell out of me. Help me, Russell. Russell, get in line. There are so many. I used to have to wear a bulletproof vest. I did. Teaching at the center, teaching. I was at the this great big auditorium in San Diego, the Lyceum. Had to have an undercover policeman there. I had to wear a vest. I understand. I insult everyone. I don't mean to. You have to understand that this is not something I sit there and think, well, that'll insult him and that'll insult her, and let's just say it to get a rise. I'm not an extreme person at all. I'm just teaching the way, and the way can be very insulting. And what gets insulted in you is the fact that you have no willingness, no interest, and no deep human desire, which is what we normally use, to spiritually awaken. You just don't have it. Why? Because of your genetics, your maturating into your genetic nature, living as a genetic human being, motivated by the fear of the DNA, and you're just operating like everybody else operates. The human operates the way the human operates. But there must come a time, Russell, where you can put aside your insult, what insults your genetic nature, and start asking yourself questions like, what is it about me that makes my life the way it is, makes it possible the way it is? Just asking these little questions. Why are we all here? How did I meet you? What was our friendship or our relationship all about? Could I forgive it? Could I heal it? Could I have the courage to do something beyond the pride and vanity of my genetic nature? Could I do it? No. Most people cannot do it. And the most people are not willing to do it because of fear of rejection and personal pride. So I understand all that. I appreciate that you said that. It's not my fault that you, you know, due to what I'm teaching, you're getting upset. You ought to see my students. They roll. They white knuckle it half the time. They come in and I'll give them this beautiful commentary that I write every other week for them, podcast, video cast, and they'll read it and it'll go in one ear and out the other. They can't retain anything spiritual, nothing spiritual can they retain. They can retain ideas, they can retain philosophies, they can retain methods, strategies, but the spiritual practice, the authentic spiritual practice, is none of those things. In fact, it gets into a place where you kind of either get it without thought, without belief, without being preconceived inside, as I like to call it, and you kind of get it and you flow with it, or you don't. Now, most people, they want to be following and marching in line through some kind of dictation and dictator, like the Pope or a minister, and they just follow in line, and, you know, this is the Pied Piper to hell, and they're going to just go with the Pied Piper. But I don't do that. I keep pointing within you, within you, within you. And what insults you is the status of what's within you. You're probably defensive and fearful and angry. You probably don't want to get rid of any of those things. The attributes of things that are really important, you know, are kind of shabby, spiritually speaking, not very healthy. You kind of realize you haven't done a hell of a lot with your life other than eat, drink, and be merry, make a few kids, and call it macaroni. I have students, I ask them, why did you have kids? They look at me like I slap them across the face. And they look at me and they say, I don't know. It was just the thing you were supposed to do. That's the way we live our life. We do things that we're supposed to do. We don't do anything out of the heart, out of the soul, because we have no soul. We just sit there and do things for the sake of just doing them. We don't know why we're doing them. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why did you do anything you do? Well, I had to do this. I had to work. I had to make money. Okay. So what puts you in that position to have to work and make money? Well, you got to live. What does that mean? Well, you live here. You need clothes and food and shelter. So how did you get into this lifetime where it was about clothes and food and shelter? Well, I don't know. Why is that important? And that's what I hear all the time. They just don't. Americans, well, people in general, we're not very bright. And if there are aliens out there, which I believe there are, are watching us, they're staying away for good reason. I can understand why. Oh, how such great wealth, as Jesus said, made its home in such poverty. He was right. So don't be insulted in me. What was it Jesus said? Blessed is he who is not insulted in me. He said that. People don't realize that a lot of times, but he did say that because he said some very antisocial things. Very antisocial. He said, you know, if you don't forgive, you're no better than the people you hate. Now, that's pretty out there for a lot of people. So you're no better than the people you hate if you can't forgive. Those people that you have disdain for, until you forgive them, you can't forgive yourself. You're caught in this web, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. There you are. This is the way, the truth, and the dimness of our light. So there you are, Russell. I hope that helps you. I really do, although I'm sure it's a very disappointing answer for you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last one from Wendell in Texas. You know, there's not a lot of people, Wendell, named Wendell anymore. And I don't know how old you are, but I think it's a wonderful name. I've always loved it. I am fear, Wendell says. I am over the line, as you say. How do I know if I'm too far gone, Wendell? This is a very important question, Wendell. You can know if you're too far gone if you find your mind measuring everything according to the values of Wendell, when there is a constant judgment going on all the time, and you are wrangling yourself over and over and over again in constant judgment, looking at people saying, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't be this way, da-da-da-da-da-da. When you realize that you do not like yourself, that you actually hate yourself, that you are not pleased with the man you have become, then you may know you're over the top and it's gotten difficult, it's gotten hairy for you. And what does that mean? It means that your life will reflect all of that. There'll be many limitations in your life, and you're going to feel, what do I want to say, lost and afraid. And if that's the way it is for you, you feel lost and afraid, you feel like you have no other meaning, the only thing you're looking for is the next thought you might have that might turn you on to be happy or give you something you want. If you're only thinking about what you need and want all the time and how unfair life is, all of that, there you are. Now, this fear that we're talking about here is coming from your genetics, who are totally supportive of your DNA. The genetics are the heritage of your family. There are legions of them within us all, and they are totally connected to the DNA, which is a survival mechanism within us, which causes us to do ruthless and ugly things in this world, and we do them for the sake of just doing them. We do them to survive, to get ahead, to not be left behind, all sorts of reasons. You say you're worried if you're over the line, you're in good company. All human beings are over the line. I want you to hear me. You're not here to perfect Wendell. I am not here to perfect the Gregory. You have to allow them to be what they are while you go live somewhere else. This is why the achievement of your soul is everything. For without it, all you have is fantasy and belief and theories and ideals that don't pertain to anything that is authentic that you can take with you through death. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole shamata right there. So you have inner work to do. You have to stop the stupid train and get off it. And sometimes you have to leap off of it while it's going 90 miles an hour, but you will survive. And if you are able and willing to do that and to go into an authentic spiritual practice, there is something magnificent that happens to all of us in that. And you will find meaning. You really will. I got to go with the time. Thank you, Wendell, for your question. And thank you for your beautiful name. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. I hope you will join me. I really do. I've got some wonderful questions. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.